From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
We come before your throne of grace. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your mercies. The Bible says they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We've gathered here tonight as your people, as your children. And let it not be possible that we will leave without learning, without being encouraged, and without being exalted through your word. I declare that indeed we are not leaving your presence the same as we came. Thank you for everyone who is here tonight. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. Are you glad to be in church on this Wednesday evening? Did you invite somebody tonight? Are you sure you invited somebody tonight? Anytime you don't invite somebody, you know God is not pleased with you. Especially those that I took with me to that place the last time. John, I hope you're doing sales and marketing, isn't it? Are you doing sales and marketing? Are you doing it? You don't say amen. Are you doing it? Yes or no? It's no. When you say amen, I don't understand why you say amen. Yeah. Those with reserved seats are coming. Reserved seats. Hey. All right, we are looking at how to diagnose proud speaking from the book, Those Who Are Proud, from the Loyalty and Disloyalty series. Amen. Now, pride, the Bible says that when you see pride, you see people falling. It's pride that makes people fall. The scripture says pride goes before a fall. Are you with me? So many of the problems, many of the complications we have in the church are because of pride. Because of sometimes how we see ourselves. The Bible says, if any man thinketh he is something and he is not, then he deceives himself. Mark, so you have that scripture. If any man thinketh he is something, meanwhile he is not, then he deceives himself. You know, so we have to understand as people of God, and I was teaching last Tuesday, that when we come into the house of the Lord, or even our lives, there is no reason for us to be proud. There's no reason. Is that Tiana? Wow. There's no reason to be proud. There's no reason. Look, you think about it. We are proud because we always are looking at, that's good. We are always are looking at ourselves in relation to our neighbors, our brothers, and our sisters. That's what makes us proud. Because when you look at your brother, you look at your neighbor, you look at your whatever, you think that, oh, I'm taller than her. I look much better than she. The shoe I'm wearing is more expensive than she's shoes. In fact, the shoe that she's wearing, I saw it at China Trading. I didn't buy it. Yeah. It is when we look at ourselves in relation to one another, that's what actually makes us feel like we are something. If a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he's been deceived. And all of us are nothing. When it comes to God, you and I are nothing. We are nothing. We are absolutely nothing. And so it is deception to look at your neighbor, to look at a person sitting next to you in the church and think that you are something. Because it is not the person, you don't have, we are not dealing with a person. The gate is open, isn't it? The gate is open, huh? I said the gate is open. Only a few people understand what I'm saying. Hey, the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. The devil is bound in the name of Jesus. I'll cry a long time ago. So if a man think himself to be something, and that's what I'm teaching you on Wednesday evenings here, that it is better for us to think of ourselves as nothing, and God rather exalts us. The Bible says that God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. So when you see somebody who is moving around as a proud person, he's somebody that God doesn't like. Proverbs chapter 6 talks about 6 things that God doesn't like. In fact, 7. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination to him. A proud look. You see, there are some people, when you see them, you know that they are proud. Some of you men and some of you ladies. There are some guys, when you see them. I know a guy, a red guy. Anytime I see him, I even if I'm sleeping, I'll know that it's him. The way he walks. I mean, he throws his hands all over the place. Confident. He jumps like that. He jumps. I'm saying, hey, a proud look. Some small dress you are wearing. Some small barrel somebody sent you from America. And some small storage jets that they have taken from the shop and put in the barrel. That you have brought to church. It is making you walk like we have not seen your type before. The Bible says that God does not, one of the things that God hates is somebody who appears proud. He said, and if you look at it, it's not even that the person is proud of. His look smells pride. It's that God hates pride so much that when he begins to see you move in a certain way, he hates you. Because it took pride for Satan to cause confusion in heaven. Yeah. So anytime God sees pride, he remembers what Lucifer did to him in heaven. And there's a distaste God has for proud people. So we are looking at how to diagnose proud speaking, because people come over as proud. Also, people also speak proud things. There are people who talk like very, very proud. The way they talk, isn't it? So we started by looking at that last Wednesday, and I want to continue tonight for a few minutes. Amen. Remember what I spoke about last week? What are some of the things? What are some of the signs of somebody who's proud when they are talking? Number one is what? Sorry? Oh, are you afraid? What are you afraid of? Overconfident speaking. You are speaking overconfident. Overconfident declarations. Overconfident declarations. It means that you speak a little more than you are allowed to speak. It's a little over. You know, and we looked at John chapter 19 and verse 9. Pilate, who thought that he was Pilate, so he can say anything. He didn't know who was standing before him. In John chapter 19 and verse 9, the Bible says, and went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer, because he wasn't interested in what Pilate had to say. Some of you are too interested in what people have to say. You can't keep your mouth shut. Nothing will pass without you saying something. Nobody can say something to you without you responding. Yeah, is it when the Bible says he was led as a sheep to the slaughter? It shows us a sign of meekness and humility. So if you can't let people say things and you don't say anything, you're also proud. I'm diagnosing your prideness. Some of you, nobody can say something to you and then you will respond. You say something back. You will say, the person will know that they spoke to the wrong person. Jesus gave him no answer. It wasn't important. Jesus wanted to die. That's what he wanted to do. So this talking. He said, brother, say the thing so that I can go and die quickly. That's what I came here for. I didn't come here to talk. I didn't come here to negotiate. This is not why I came here. I am standing in front of you for you to let me go to go and die. So this conversation you are trying to engage me in, I'm not interested. He goes to verse 10 and he says that. Then Pilate said unto him, you will not talk to me? You say nothing? You won't talk? Why you won't say nothing? And look at what he said. Look at Pilate and Jesus. You should imagine who should speak in the way that Pilate is speaking. If you are Pilate and your Jesus is standing in front of you, if you know who is standing in front of you, he said, knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Verse 11. Then Jesus said, brother Pilate, thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. So, Jesus was trying to say that, you know what? This thing that you are talking about, like you have power to crucify me or release me, you are behaving too overcome. Your confidence is too much. Because it had to be given to you, you wouldn't have received it. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. So people who speak overconfidently refuse to understand that whatever you are speaking about, whatever declarations you are making, it is because God Almighty has given you that opportunity. It's not because of your might nor your power. So when you are speaking, you should speak properly. Hallelujah. What's number two? Did I give you number two? What's number two? Correction upwards. When you think that you can just correct people above you. Correction upwards. You correct people higher above you. And we live in a society where people don't respect those above them. Which is very unfortunate. Because if you grew up where I grew up, you know that somebody will ring a box in you if you don't respect. Someone with their belt. You see, when we were growing up, I've told you all the stories about us growing up in secondary schools. The secondary school, is that Dale? The secondary school will make you soft. Huh? You are in form two or second form. The person in fourth form can make you into nothing. We are not talking about somebody who has finished school. We are not talking about somebody who is at the university. We are not even talking about your teachers. Nor your senior mistress, nor your head teacher. We are talking about somebody who's just two forms ahead of you and what power that person has over you. Oh, your life will change forever. Well, you go to school in secondary form one, you say 11, 12 years old. The first thing they do is that we call something in Ghana, West Africa, in most of the secondary schools, I don't know whether they still do it. There's something we call Homos Night. Homos night. Homos night means those who just came. So we dedicate an evening, a Saturday evening, probably the first or second week in the first term, to introducing them to the whole school. So homos are just those who just came, the Form 1 students. JJC, the green ones. And we make them entertain us one night. So you have to come and misbehave. You have to come and joke. You have to come and do things that will laugh. You better make us laugh. We call it homo's night. Then after that, we used to have these ponds. So like fish ponds and things around the campus. So after that, then we pond them. So somebody holds your hands and somebody holds your two legs like that. And then we throw you like that. One, two, three. Now we throw you up like that. It's a fish pond though. You go into the pond like that. Plash! If you don't go through that, you are not in the school as a Form 1 student. It means that you were not admitted officially. Oh, cry. You will feel it. You will encounter what it means to be in secondary school Form 1. And these are sometimes even people in second form, people in third form doing this to you. So from the word go, you respect those who are a form ahead of you. It's not like these days where in our system, in our society, in our country, people don't respect teachers. Me, I'm glad I'm not a teacher. Like the police will come and arrest me. Yeah. I'm sure somebody's parent would have come to the school to fight with me. Oh, yeah. I'll beat. What did I say? I desbeat. How can you spare the rod and spoil the child? It's not proper. It's not correct. So you don't correct upwards. If you correct upwards, you are proud. You can't tell your mother is wrong. Hey, shorty. I'm going to ask you to bring offering so shorty can come so you can see. One small pregnancy. You can't even move your legs. Yeah, but your grandmother, she made 12. Yeah, these days they can't make 12. Oh. No. These days they don't make 12. Even 5 and 6, these days you can't make it. Because the doctors want money, they will cut you. First one, they will cut you like meat. Second one, they cut you. Then they tell you, you can't be cut more than 3 times. So a third one, they warn you that if you go through your third one, your third CS, caesarean section, is very, very risky. So you finish at 3. Yeah. Our mothers and our grandmothers, they just go to the hospital, they just drop like that. Drop. Pow. Easy. Drop. Before you catch yourself, they're pregnant again. So sometimes you have one baby who is being nursed. So she's at the back like that with a cloth around the woman. And then the woman is pregnant. Yeah. And then when the baby at the back is crying for the baby, and the woman will take it out like that and throw it to the back. You're not fine at all. They say, hey, keep quiet. Keep quiet. Yeah, no fire at all. So anytime you think that you can correct upwards, it means you are proud. You are a church member, you want to correct the pastor. Yes, and many people are like that. Christians are very ignorant and so proud. If we were to leave the church for you for one day, you would die. I tell you. People think it's easy to pastor a church. Even little small home cell, small area fellowship, small home cell, small every Bible, every Thursday, go to this area and do Bible study. Every Thursday, you are struggling. You can't make it. Yeah. How much more handling a church? You can easily die. You should go and ask Moses. In Numbers chapter 11, Moses said, you know what? Moses was talking to God. He said, kill me. He said, kill me. Let me die. He said, is this how you told me you love me? Is this how you love me? With all these people, all these complaints, all this. No. He said, kill me now. Yeah. Pastoring a church is a lot of stress. Yeah, you can easily get a heart attack. So when you are in the church and then you seem to think that you have better ideas than a pastor, it's pride. And I say it in the church and I say it anywhere I go to preach. I actually speak against the church board and the church committee and all those people who are in the churches who try to do all kinds of things. You see, in a church setup where you have church committees and church boards, you have one of the most proud people in the church. You see, because the pastor and the system in the church, kind of requires, or it has been established, that the pastor runs the church with a group of elders. It makes the people who have been selected, they feel like they are all that. But you see, if you look into the scriptures properly, to become whoever in the church is not by what you know. No. Peter, James, and John, they didn't go to Bible school. They didn't go to Bible school. Did you hear Peter going to seminary, coming out with a diploma in theology or degree in theology, going to do his doctorate in Trinidad? Did you hear Peter doing that? No, something like that. Peter was just somebody who learned by working and walking along with Jesus. The best students are those who work with you and learn by assisting. Practical training. Yeah. So you have a church where you have some maybe highly educated people or people who work in some places where they get more salary or reasonable salary than some of us. Then if you put them in the church board, then they try to correct the pastor. They try to correct the things and say, you know what, you can't do this. No, we can't do this. If you do that, say, you know, you can't be in the church. If you were so qualified, God would have chosen you rather than the pastor. Have you not thought about that? If you have so many great ideas, if you were so altogether lovely, altogether worthy, then when God was looking for somebody to choose to become a man of God, he would have chosen you. So you just have to zip it and receive instructions from the pulpit. Because once you are not the one standing there, you have to submit. So correcting upwards is a sign of pride. And many church members are proud. Number 3. Do you have it? Give you number 3. I'm preaching from this book, those who are proud. It's in the Macarius. I don't know if it's 60 or 40, but one of them. It's 60. Okay. You have to go to Africa for that one. Number 3 or number 4? Number 3. Isaiah chapter 16 and verse 6. This one is nicer. Isaiah chapter 16 and verse 6. Every Sunday morning we are here, first service 7 to 9, second service 10 to 12. Invite, make it your duty to invite somebody to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. What do you think? Yeah. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6, and verse 60 and verse 6, we have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud, even of his haughtiness. And his pride and his wrath. We have heard of the pride of Moab. One other sign of proud speaking is when you end a conversation abruptly. Ending a conversation abruptly. All right. Good, good, good. All right, good. All right, good. It's a sign of pride. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, no, no, you know what? Okay. Why? You're proud. When you are talking, I'm talking to you. And we are talking, and then you turn and you leave. You're proud. The Bible says that the pride of Moab was discovered in hearing. The pride was heard. It means it was in the talking. It was something about conversation and communication. It is out of that the sign of pride can be deduced. So you are talking to the person, and then he ends the conversation abruptly. When you call voicemail, that person has been offended. The person is proud. That is a sign of pride. To diagnose pride and proud speaking is when people cut off conversations. You know what? I ain't able. Why are you not able? You are proud. Why can we not take this conversation to its logical conclusion? Why should we stop talking about what we are talking about? Because something doesn't sit well with you? Who is you? I said, who is you? Because of your feelings or your something, so we cannot complete this subject and this topic we raised? We should end the conversation. We should stop talking about what we are talking about. Because what? You don't like it? Who is you? You don't like what? You must like it. We must talk about it. We must finish the story. You can't walk away like that. When somebody is talking to you and you have manners and you are humble, you make sure that the conversation and the topic is exhausted. You don't just jump out of a conversation, out of a discussion and go, never mind. What do you mean by never mind? I will ever mind. Don't worry. Don't worry. Is that right? No, when you hear, forget about it. When you hear those things, don't forget about it. Don't believe them. You should look at the person straight in the eyes and say, sweetie, what happened to you? I smell in pride. If nothing is wrong, why don't we continue? When you see members of parliament walk out of parliament, it's pride. Let's finish the debate. If you are skilled, if you are qualified to be in parliament and to debate, let the person say it and you say it. That is what you call civilized debate, civilized parliament. You don't just get up and walk. You are ending a conversation and something. It's a sign of pride. Is that what we do? When your mother is talking to you and you don't want to hear the nonsense, the so-called nonsense you think your mother is talking about, what do? You walk out. It is because you think that you are bigger than your mother. What your mother is talking about is nonsense. There's no sense in it. It makes you are proud. You are proud. You see, and sometimes there's a very nice way of people not wanting you to continue something you are saying. The other day, I had some nice Christian brothers around me who went to drink coconut rum. Yeah. They went to drink coconut rum mixed with glucosade. Yeah. Mixed it. There are two people. One passed out like that. Poof. Knock out. The other one was high. The other one used two words. The person said, I was tipsy and I was high. I said, tipsy and high, they are two different words. Now, if you know me, and if you've been around a little bit, you know we like to tease people. We like to make jokes and we like to make fun and all of that. I mean, we call people names and all kinds of things we do in the church. When we call something, we say something about you, and your face remains straight, you are nicely telling us, I don't wonder if I should even say it's nice. You are actually saying that please shut up. Don't talk my name. Don't talk my business. Now, can you believe that I am the pastor of these young people? And then I am not beating you because you've gone to drink coconut rum. Because if you are around me, you drink coconut rum. I will slap you. I won't use scripture. I will slap you. You can ask them. That's how I train people. I'll beat you. Eyes beat. I'll howl upon you or something. But I didn't do that. All we do is that we just say it and we laugh. So we're calling one Coco and we call the other one Rum. when you say it, you see, there were two of them. One person will smile, skin and teeth, and just, another person. It's like the other person is trying to tell me, the pastor. You see, I said, I didn't even bring you in the church and say, look that stinking who idiot, something. Look, this person called themselves Christians. Look at what they've got to do. Please bring the coconut rum bottle. Let me show you what coconut rum is. I didn't do any of that. I applied the scripture that says that love covers a multitude of sins. So I used the love like a cover, and I covered the drinking of the coconut rum. Now when I'm making joke with the coconut rum, you gotta laugh. You gotta smile. And say, Bishop, say it again. But when I'm saying it, you face turn up. You face turn up. You face turn up on me. Excuse me, something wrong with you. I said, we shouldn't talk about coconut rum. It's a drink. It is sold in a shop. Should we not talk about it? Because of you? Because of your face? I should shut up? It's a sign of pride. Yeah. Sign of pride. Isn't it? Yeah. Who went to drink it? You want to know? Yeah. You see, all of that, we are not even saying it. We are just talking about it, and we're laughing. You better laugh too. In fact, when I say it, he said, oh, Bishop, who is that? Bishop, who is that? You rather should say, who is that? Who is that? So nobody knows that it's you. But as we are talking about that thing, your face alone shows that it's you are the one. You are the one. Excuse me. Yeah. No, you should look at it. Whether it's your pastor, whether it's your parent, whether it's the head of your school, whatever is, whoever has authority over you, when they are talking to you, you have to allow the conversation and the meeting to go to the logical conclusion. Don't make your face something as if people should stop talking, saying what they are trying to say. In the church, we will not stop talking. No. One of the jobs that God has given us is a mouth to talk. The day you don't hear my voice anymore, I'll be in the grave. We are, God blesses us for talking. Yes. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 1. The day we don't talk, that's the day our ministry has ended. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you. He says, to me, indeed, it's not grievous. It's not a problem to me. Because I have been called by God to tell you the thing the way it is. If I have to say it over and over again, I have to say it to me. It's not a problem at all. He said, even for you, if you look at it, for you, it's safe. When we talk about coconut rum, you will not go and drink again. Because you sit down and you say, oh, the last time I went to drink this coconut rum, Bishop, he'd never end this story. So me one day, no story, no more. You, by the time we talk about it, you yourself, nobody will tell you not to go and put yourself in coconut rum story anymore. Are you there? So whenever you are corrected, whenever something comes up about you and you can't handle it to the extent that you want us to stop, you want us to end it, you don't like when we bring up the subject. Hey, hey, Christian sister, hey, you are proud. You are proud. You should be able to talk about it and laugh. You should be able to talk about life and laugh. You should be able to talk about our mistakes and laugh. Don't I tell you all? You see, you know all my business. Yeah. You see, 6 months. So you see, they are calling me 6 months. You know all my business. Yeah. I tell you all my past life, all my business. Yeah. 6 months. 6 months. Uh-huh. If you have been in this church, if you have been here for a while, you know my 6 month story. Yeah. How I got saved. All those things I tell you. Yeah. How in my house, in my room, my shoes are in some small place. And the other person, you know, has big place. Well, I tell you all my business. You gonna drink coconut rum. You don't want us to talk about coconut rum? We'll talk about it out until we die. Even when we go to heaven, we'll bring it up. I'll call Apostle Peter and say, Apostle, please. You remember Guyana? Do you remember coconut rum story? We'll laugh. And Apostle Peter will say, so where is he? Where is he? Go and bring the person. I say, Pastor John, go and bring those coconut rum people. They're partners. So that's one sign. When we cannot finish what we are saying about you or the discussion we're having, when you create an impression or actually act in a way that we cannot finish it, it's a sign of pride. And ladies and gentlemen, I've lived in Guyana for almost 13 years. 14th March 2018 will be 13 years I entered into this beautiful country. 14th of March. And one thing I can tell you, we Guyanese cannot keep quiet when somebody is talking. Especially if you are talking to them, if you are addressing them, they won't even pay attention to listen to what you are saying. They will talk. But, you see, if you were trained where I was trained, by the time you open your mouth to say the but, one teeth will be gone. One tooth will be gone. You lose one tooth. Yeah. We like talking back, answering back, answering back, answering back. You are not even taking your time to hear what is being said. Answering back as well. To an extent, you know what? You say, you know, all right, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Sometimes when I'm working with people and I'm talking to them and then they are talking, I look at them like that. I'll do so. Then they catch themselves. I said, yes, Bishop. Yes, Bishop. I am talking to you. Don't you respect me as your pastor? So what point do you have? I've told the people I work with, I should never be wrong in your eyes. I should never be wrong in your eyes. Never. You imagine. If I am, the day I am wrong, then what? You are right. So I should apologize to you. So use the pastor now. It's like I've taken my authority and I've given it to you. No, you rather are the one who is now controlling my life. So as far as you are concerned, I'm concerned. I can never be wrong. I'm not saying that I can't be wrong. That's what I'm saying. But to you, you should say, oh, he's right. For your safety. Because if I'm wrong, then you can have the right to talk to me in a certain way. True or false? So the more often I am wrong to you, the more you talk to me in a certain way. Then you begin to lower me, and disrespect me. The time will come, you don't even see me as your pastor anymore. When I speak, you don't even listen to me. So for your own security and safety and blessings, when I'm wrong, so he's right. Even that boyfriend who doesn't give you anything, even 220 top up can't give to you. He's never wrong. We can't say anything wrong about that banner, that fella, that man, that flyer, that poster you got. That paper. We can never say anything. We can't say anything about him or her. He's never wrong. He's so pure in your eyes. And then your pastor now should have a fault. Something got to be wrong with you. Something can be wrong. So I tell the people around me, the people I work with, I say, I should never be wrong. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but to you, I should be perfect. Oh, cry. It will help you. So if I'm wrong, I say, oh, Pastor Samuel, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Yeah, you should be saying sorry to me. Even when I'm wrong, you say, it's me, I'm sorry. Huh? Cry. Number four. Last one. We close. Yes. Revelation chapter 18, verse 7. Revelation chapter 18, verse 7. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously. You know you can live deliciously. Praise, this is King James, so it's real biblical English. Not them people who say this. You lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I sit a queen and I am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. The next sign of proud speaking is declarations of self-sufficiency. Declarations of self-sufficiency. It's like, you sit a queen. I all right. I don't need nobody. I'm okay. I don't need no. I will not beg nobody for nothing. You declare self-sufficiency. Give me back the verse. What was that? Verse 7. How much she has glorified herself. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 31, I believe, the Bible says, let anyone who glorieth in the Lord. Let anyone who boasts, they should boast in the Lord. You cannot rely on, ladies and gentlemen, what do you have? That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. But this woman here in Revelation 18 and verse 7, she glories in herself. It's erroneous. You glory yourself. You manufacture oxygen for your lungs. Oh no, tell me, you have a factory in your house where you manufacture oxygen that you breathe. You have your own homemade oxygen that makes you live. Glorified herself and lived deliciously. You see how some people live their lives? Self-sufficiency. They live their lives as if everything is what? They are the ones who have made everything possible. So, the Bible says that much torment and sorrow, that's what you should give to this person. So, it is wrong, it is bad that you will declare and make your speeches comes over with a certain sufficiency in yourself. You see, we ourselves cannot do anything. The Bible says that we are His people. It is God who has made us, not of ourselves. Is it Psalm 100? Psalm 100? Can I have Psalm 100? The Bible says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Uh-huh. And then, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I'm reading from verse 1, please. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. And know ye. No, it is something that you must know. You must have this knowledge that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. So if there's anything to be proud of, It must be declared in the name of God. It must be linked to God who has made your sufficiency possible. Your statements, your words, the vocabulary, the jargons, the words you use must depict sufficiency in the Lord. That's how you should speak. Don't glorify yourself. What are you glorifying? After the hair that you are glorifying is wig. The hair is not for you. The hair is not for you. What are you? You see, you are glorying in. The hair is not for you. You see, these girls, you see, the ladies, they have ways of deceiving us, right? Yeah. They have ways of making us believe that they have hair. But they don't have hair. Don't worry with them. Don't worry with them. Now, the one that is very interesting is those who will do pony, right? Will bring everyone together. And then it is up to here. Don't believe them, people. Don't believe them. It's not true. It's not true. We know you. We have been in this church with you for a few years. When you bring all of it together, you even struggle to put a pony on it. We know that. So don't bring this hair that is over here and try and tell us that it is so long that when you put it together, it comes all the way to your back. I beg you. I beg you. And there's a type of race that doesn't have hair up to here. So, if some of us, you can't deceive us all. If you put it at the back of your neck here, we will believe it. Because it's possible. There are some things that are not possible for a black woman to have hair up to here. It's not possible. There's no point to glorying yourself. Don't tell yourself you sit a king, you sit a queen. It's like you are a king, you are like a queen. Who made you like that? Who made you like that? Huh? Because of some what? Some dress? Some little achievement? Because you put yourself through school? in hardships, you broke through, you became strong, now you are successful. So you are what? You are speaking self-sufficiently. It's a sign of pride. The Bible says that you, that person, where's my scripture again? 18:7. Hey, are you taking my scripture? He says, so much torment and sorrow, give her. And somehow it was a woman. Ladies, are you there? You see, if you live a little longer, you realize that we are nothing. No. You see, I when I was growing up, I grew up knowing my senior brother for a few years, and he migrated to the States. And I didn't see him for so many years. And then we met again in Europe, where he came to visit me in Europe. So we're together. And I realized that, you know, he used to ball his head. I thought it was a style. He didn't tell me that, brother. You see, the hair you have now, you should rejoice. You should be excited. Because the time is coming. Brother Samuel, yeah, touch yours. It's gone. You can buy conditioner. You can buy shampoo. You can buy peppermint cream. Prince, you wait and see. You have to adjust your face without hair and your glasses. You have to get some beard so that it balances the human nothingness that is happening to you. Yeah. Now they call it handbag, isn't it? Two handbags, one here. Handbags like that. We are carrying them. You wait. When you're growing up, your skin is so nice and shiny. It gets to a point, you see that it becomes wobbly, 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 wobbly. Where is the self-sufficiency coming from? Where is it coming from? And then one day, you breathe your last. I don't know whether I should say this, but it's funny. You know the undertakers who engage in sexual activity with dead bodies? Pray that you don't fall into one of those hands. Pray. I said, pray. Pray for yourself. Lizzo, pray for yourself. Yeah? No, one day they arrested one of these guys and they were interviewing him. He says, he said, when they are alive, you can't get them. You can't get them. They will pay you no mind. I tell you. He says, so. Yeah. Now, when you are lying down and the man comes, you open your eyes and say, bye, get out of your way. If you are so self-sufficient, if you are so powerful. That will not be your story in Jesus' name. They do it. When you go fresh, they take your body there fresh. They are the ones who take your body and go and put it into the fridge. Now, they are the ones there. Then when the family turns their back, he locks the door. He say, you, me and you today. Hey, let me say, Phoebe, you should pray. Hey! Charlie, you can't imagine yourself that you don't have any hands to slap him. You don't have any mouth to say, hey, bye, what's going on? He's having a field day. Where is all the self-sufficiency? Where is all the self-sufficiency? My time is up. Please stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Blessed be your name, O God. How wonderful, how glorious, my Savior's God, victorious, my chains are gone, my debt is paid, from death to life. Savior's God, victorious, my chains are gone, my debt is paid, from death to life, and grace to grace. When I see that cross, I see freedom. When I see that grave, I'll see Jesus. From death to life, I'll sing your praise in the wonder of your name. When I see that cross, I see freedom. When I see that grave, I'll see Jesus. And from death to life, I'll sing your praise in the wonder of your grace. Now my soul will sing your praise in the wonder of your grace. Now my soul will sing your praise. How wonderful, how glorious, my Savior. Chains are gone, my debt is paid, from death to life, grace to grace. You are here tonight, you are not saved. You are here tonight, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are here tonight, you know if you die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. Tonight, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The reason why God brought you here is that you will open your heart and allow him in, and he will give you eternal life, and that you will give him the keys over your life, and that he will run your life and lead your life for you. You are here tonight. You want to say, Bishop, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be born again. I'm not sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell when I die, but I want to decide tonight. I don't want to go home without making this life critical decision to choose heaven and refuse hell. You are here like that tonight. You want me to pray with you. You want to accept Jesus. You want God to come into your heart. You are here like that. While every eye is closed, you want to raise your right hand above your head. You want to just raise your right hand above your head. You want to say, Bishop, please pray for me. Pray with me. I need Jesus. I want to be a Christian. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to receive eternal life. I want to walk with God. I want to have fellowship with Jesus. You are here like that. You are far from God. You want to change your life. You want Jesus to come into your life and change you forever. If you're here like that, just your right hand up high. Just your right hand up high. And I'll pray with you. Just your right hand. It's the right time if you're here like that, somebody here like that, just your right hand and say, Jesus, I need you. I want you in my life. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. If you're here, just your right hand up high, above your head so I can see it. Above your head, your right hand, God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. Just your right hand above your head. Bishop, please pray for me. I need Jesus. I want Jesus. God bless you. If you lifted up your right hand, I want to ask you to come to the front so I can pray with you. Come, my brother. Come, brother. Come. 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 Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Come. Far for them as they come. Far for them as they come. Come on. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. What's your name, sir? Dominic, and you are? Facey John. Okay, just face me. Face me. Face me. Close your eyes. Lift up your two hands. Yes, church, join in as we pray this prayer together. It's a very simple prayer. You confess it, and Jesus will come into your life. So say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to come into my life, to stay, to make my heart his home. I confess Jesus from tonight as my personal Savior. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for these two brothers of mine. I pray for your covering. I pray the Lord you order their steps. I pray the Lord you cause them to be established in you. I pray, Lord, like trees, their roots will go deeper, deeper into church, deeper into fellowship, deeper in Bible reading, deeper into prayers, deeper into showing forth the praise they have given to them from today. May they live long and serve you for the rest of their days. Thank you, Father, for saving them. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.